on this day. Thank you. No, put it somewhere else. On this day, Krishna entered, he began his cowherding pastimes and changed from being a cowherd boy to being a cowherd boy. But even more significant, that on this day he entered the Vrindavan forest for the first time.
Oh.
So this is described in the 15th chapter of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. But how the decision came to be made is wonderful, and that's not described in the Bhagavatam, how it was decided that Krishna start taking care of the cows instead of the calves. And this is especially important because Krishna's age had changed from Kumar to Poganda, to the second age. And even though he was very young, he was capable of manifesting still older pastimes of Kishore pastimes. So this keeps him away from the town of Vrindavan, because the cows go out all day and the calves go out just for a short time because they're still dependent upon their mothers for milk. So Krishna was free to do as he liked in the Vrindavan forest. So exactly how the decision came to be made as everyone watched, Krishna, the killer of Bakasura, left his Komar age and entered the age of Poganda. Krishna and Balaram's Poganda age, where their intelligence, strength, attractiveness, handsomeness, and the glory of their fair and dark complexions and their glows, and when their chest, limbs, eyes, and other parts of their body begin to bloom, and their hair and garments become more glorious than before, and when their expertise in enjoying playful pastimes becomes more and more great, makes me yearn to see them. Their bodies start to blossom and bloom. One morning, Sriman Abhinanda's wife, so Abhinanda is one of the younger brothers of Nanda Maharaj, who entered the assembly of Braj's queen Yasoda, and she respectfully inquired, "O glorious mother of Krishna, where did your son go this morning? He's not here with you like he usually is." Smiling, Raja's queen Yasoda replied, "Previously, as soon as Krishna awakened, I would massage him with fragrant oils, I would bathe him, I would dress him with nice garments. But if I try to serve him in these ways now, he becomes embarrassed. So he's not here, because his servants, who are all boys of his own age, serve him now in these different ways. All these services are offered. And Krishna then, after all these services are offered, Krishna then comes before his father, his elders, and me, and he respectfully offers obeisances to us all."
Wonderful.
After, Mother Yasoda continues, "Ever since the day where he killed Agasura, I have remained wrapped in thinking of when will he return from the pasturing ground with the calves. And when it's sunset, I see that he's indeed returning with the calves. I somehow have remained alive until that point, and at that time I perform a ritual of sipping water three times, and I carefully bless my boy again and again. I forbid him to do anything that might cause him harm. I hold him in my hands when he returns. I'm stunned and I'm overcome with emotions. I do the same with Rohini's son, Balaram." And hearing these words, and looking at Mother Yasoda's face, the ladies who were present there all smiled. Then Yasoda said, "Even though Krishna is no longer a small child, I always think of him in that way, and thus I attain great happiness. But still, sometimes my boy Krishna brings me great distress. The lady said, "How is that? How does Krishna bring you distress?" And Yasoda replied, "Even though he's still little, he still yearns to herd the grown-up calves, all of them at once, and by himself." Then the lady said, "Please do not think that he's not expert of this task. His nature is like the nature of great cowherds, who are like so many tilak markings on the forehead of the cowherd community. Is it not possible that he's already expert in this task? He is already the most wonderfully glorious of all the glorious cowherds." When these words that were spoken by the ladies to Mother Yasoda were told to Nanda Maharaj, he recounted them in the assembly of all the cowherd men. And Nanda Maharaj said to Sananda and Nandana, the other two young brothers, "O noble, long-lived brothers, your nephew Krishna likes to stay in your company. He does not like me in the same way as he likes you. I see that he only glances at me with hesitant eyes that have the slightest tinge of fear in them and respect. But with you, he's happy and free, and he speaks so many casual words." And Sananda said, "This is only correct. Your glance to him is serious and filled with fatherly instructions and commands. Your son, who is now in his Komar age, he does not look at us expecting our glances will be filled with fatherly teachings. Even from early childhood, Krishna would always first offer his respectful obeisances to his mother, then to you, his father, and then to us. Then at daybreak, he would respectfully greet his friends." And after hearing these words that came from the mouths of the men of the assembly, who were men who were headed by Nanda, by Upananda and Abhinanda, men who had assembled there out of feelings of paternal love for Krishna and Balaram, men who had honored each other as equals, men who had come to hear what the others would say, men who each spoke some words, men who were splendid with gentle smiles that were blossoming with bliss. And after hearing this, Nanda, the glorious king of Braja, he again spoke to Sananda and Nandana, saying, "The two brothers, Krishna and Balaram, one time they approached you in a silent place, a private place, and glancing at you from the corner of their timid eyes, they placed a request towards you, before you. On another day, they searched for you from afar. What did they say to you at these times?" Nandana then said, "What can be said of that now? After some time, if Krishna and Balaram wish, it may then be appropriate to say something, to speak about what they told us. For now, we cannot speak of it. It is not right for you to hear what was said. No, brothers, King Nanda then asked, "No, tell me, what was it? Sananda then said, he smiled and said, "They, Krishna and Balaram, wish to take care of the adult cows, and not just the calves." Upananda then asked, "What exactly did Krishna and Balaram say?" Sananda said, "They said, we are now past the initial stage of our life, and still our glorious father does not allow us to take care of the cows." Hearing these words, and looking at Krishna and Balaram's faces, the cowherd men were filled with wonder. They were silent. From within their hearts, they were thinking of the welfare of Krishna and Balaram. And they said to Braja's glorious King Nanda, even though they are very young, your two sons are extraordinarily intelligent and strong with intelligence and strength that did not gradually develop, but suddenly they were manifest. This must be because of the austerities that you performed, that your sons have this wonderful nature that amazes us. The demons that attacked them all perished because those demons did not have the help of the great intelligence and strength that they have. And for this reason, even if you allow Krishna and Balaram to take care of the cows, everything will be auspicious. Then, still later, at a certain time, Vraja's King Nanda, and this is called Brijbasi politics. Mm-hmm. Krishna is the original player. You tell everyone except the person you want to hear. So then everyone starts telling them, and then you can just sit back looking very innocent. And then at a certain time, Braja's King Nanda and his wife, whose name was Yashoda, they met in a private place to discuss this situation. And filled with love for their son, they both came to the same conclusion. We both think that the time is now right. Then, after some days, gathering in the effulgent assembly and seeing that Braja's King Nanda was both embarrassed and filled with wonder, the Gopa elders looked at each other and smiled. Then Braja's King Nanda asked them, why are you looking at me in this way? And the Gopa elders said to him, because that we see that you are both embarrassed and filled with wonder at the same time. Braja's King Nanda then said, tell me the truth. What do you really think? All the gopas said, for a long time you have been engaged in taking care of the cows. Still, you do not give your son any responsibility over the cows. You send the cows out to the pasture, but you do not send Krishna with them. Braja's King Nanda then said, why do you tell me this all of a sudden? And all the gopas said, your son Krishna, whom we all dearly love, revealed this to us. Braja's King Nanda said, is this right? Is there not any fault with this advice? And all the gopas said, there is no other way. From now on, Krishna should be engaged in caring for the cows. Your fears, Nanda, even in the matter of Krishna taking care of the calves, are unfounded. Still, because of the austerities you perform, Krishna has always been safe from all enemies and dangers. Therefore, we advise you to engage Krishna in caring for the cows. By our good wishes, Krishna will cross beyond all that is inauspicious. Hearing these words of the wise Gopamen and obtaining permission from them, blissful Sriman Upananda inquired for many learned astrologers. The astrologers decided that the most auspicious time for Krishna to begin taking care of the cows was the Sukla Ashtami. That means when the moon is becoming full, the second half of the month, of the month of Kartik. That means the eighth day of the waxing moon. That Sukla Ashtami fell on a Wednesday, when the Shravana, such an auspicious star, was prominent. So the cowherd men ceased work for 3 days, and they gathered together and beat drums. For 3 days they celebrated a great festival marking the conclusion of Krishna's taking care of the calves and the beginning of his taking care of the cows. One by one, the cowherd men spoke many eloquent words. They all yearned to speak blessings, granting Krishna an always auspicious long life. A glimpse of the direction these activities followed is given in the following words, the activities they performed, the auspicious activities. They garbed and decorated. Krishna was garbed and decorated as the protector of the cows. He was garbed and decorated as protector of the cows, and he was fully able to protect them. And he was offered blessings by the Brahmins and the others. And setting out on the auspicious day, he received receiving the offering of arti, offered a festival of song, instrumental music, and dances, and glorified with repeated calls of jai, and accompanied by Balaram, glorious and handsome Krishna followed the cows. Now would we describe the first Krishna's first following of the cows. Accompanied by auspicious songs and instrumental music, this is what happened on this day, Krishna came before the Brahmin priests. He worshipped them with padya and other offerings, and he satisfied the cows by offering them delicious grass. He honored the priests by bowing down before them. He performed other respectful activities. He offered them dakshin, and he greatly delighted the priests and other superiors. And then he stood respectfully with folded palms before his father and other superiors. Then Krishna's father, who was the king of Braja, took a staff, a rod that was covered with jewels, and he placed it in his hand. Then Krishna's mother, who was the queen of Braja, placed a tilak marking on Krishna's forehead, and she said, "Balaram, you stay right in front of Krishna. Subal, you stay at Krishna's rear behind him. Sridham, Sudham, you stay on Krishna's side. All other boys, you stay around Krishna in all directions." And grasping each boy's hand and assigning to each boy a specific duty, Krishna's mother sprinkled each boy with her tears. In the presence of the gopi ladies headed by Upananda's wife, ladies who were all saintly, they were all fortunate, and they were all glorious because of Rohini's association. And then with the sounding of a great tumult of blissful and auspicious sounds that filled the earth from the heavens with a great variety of auspiciousness, Krishna offered his respectful obeisances to his mother and then to his father. And now, perfectly successful in performing his duties, he called out, "Gee, gee," to the cows, to call the cows to come to him. The cows, however, did not respond, because he was just a little boy. And when the cows would not come, Krishna, accompanied by Balaram and his friends, he walked towards the gopa elders. And when dark, beautiful Krishna, who was now no longer taking care of the calves, walked towards the gopa elders, the cows slowly followed him.
What is the logic here? When he apparently when he called Gigi, they didn't follow. Nothing worked.
But then they couldn't resist when Krishna was walking to follow him. They wouldn't listen to his commands at this point, because the first time he gave them to them. But they couldn't resist his all attractive, beautiful nature, because they loved him. Somehow, removing from their path the mothers, the fathers, and other elders whose hearts yearned to follow them, and somehow becoming free of the iron shackles of their eyes, and playing and laughing with their all playful, all graceful, and filled with wonder cowherd boyfriend powers, Krishna and Balaram, the desires in their hearts all fulfilled, took the great herd of cows with them, and with quick steps proceeded in the direction of Govardhan Hill. There, by prearranged calls, all the cows gathered, and then they became spread over a long area. Never were the cows hit with any stick. Krishna and Balaram then played very blissfully with their delightful, playful, and happily decorating each other friends. So then it describes all the cowherd boys playing in their pastimes. But I wanted to read something else.
Wonderful. It's really so enriching. It becomes so happy.
You can see it.
And you read very nicely, Guru Nambu.
Now this is described in very brief. See, these things, the Goswamis have expanded on everything. And this is, but that's described very briefly in a sentence in the Bhagavatam. So also Krishna's coming home after that first day, or after killing of Dhanukasura. There's just three verses describing his coming home. Three or four, and two, how the gopis reacted with him. And then how Mother Yasoda and Rohini bathed them. And then the Kaliya pastime begins. But this is the kind of event that happened. Drinking, the Brijbasis took immense pleasure. Oh. Gathering the herds of cows, the gopas walked along Krishna, who played sweet, gentle tunes on his murli while driving the cows home. Bellowing happily as they moved, the cows fixed their eyes in the direction of Nandagaon. As they passed through the various villages along the way, Krishna cast sidelong glances towards the gopis who stood on their rooftops to greet him as he walked by. The Brijbasis took immense pleasure in seeing their beloved Krishna and Balaram after the long summer's day. So this is a summer pastime. Krishna's beautiful dark blue curly locks peeked out from the edge of his limestone white turban, and it enchanted the eyes of everyone. The dust rising from the hooves of the cows created an auspicious atmosphere. Gentle breezes added a comfortable sensation. And the breeze, purified by the touch of Krishna's transcendental body, soothed and satisfied all the Brijbasis as they watched the returning boys and cows. Drinking the sweet vibration of Krishna's flute with the cups of their ears, the deer hurried to the edge of the forest to see him. The birds that felt empty in his separation and the trees that had become lean and thin again rejoiced upon hearing Krishna's reassuring flute, and Krishna entered a joyful mood as he approached the border of Vrindavan. Rows of excited bumblebees formed a garland of blue sapphires to adorn the neck of Vrindavan. The bees went blind from smelling the sweet fragrance of lotus-eyed Krishna, and although a strong wind crushed their pride in flying, they tried their best to follow them. Enthusiastic to return home, Haladar ran down the long road into Vrindavan. So he went ahead in his way. Krishna, the radiant prince of Vrindavan, who is the abundant treasure house of beauty, endowed with unlimited varieties of good fortune, however, lagged behind while returning from the pasturing ground. He deliberately walked slowly, like an intoxicated baby elephant, in order to create some distance between himself and his brother Balaram. Krishna was suddenly maddened with bliss as a result of his deep-rooted affection for the Braja Gopis. Now, without any shame or fear of his elder brother, Krishna unhesitatingly fixed his eyes on the Chandrashilakas, the small rooftop rooms on tops of the houses. And standing in the Chandrashilakas, the gopis filled the sky with the countless full moons of their faces, glowing with love. The gopis continuously thought of Krishna all day within their hearts while separated from him. Although Lord Shiva held poison in his throat, the gopis could not contain the intense hankering of their hearts to see Krishna. And forcefully surging from their hearts, this fervor choked their voices and made them lose external awareness. As the day gradually met the evening, the gopis, forever bound to Krishna by unbreakable ties of love, became agitated with the desire to see him. Seeing Krishna in the distance, with his ever-fresh youthful body glistening like a dark blue cloud, the gopis immediately blossomed in ecstatic love. Krishna wore a colorful turban decorated with a peacock feather jutting out the side, and suddenly Krishna glanced directly at the gopis standing on the roofs. At that moment, because the gopis were looking at him, and then Krishna looked directly at them and caught them looking at him. At that moment, the gopis appeared to be drinking the sweet nectar of Krishna's gorgeous form with the cups of their eyes. They appeared to be touching him with their hands and licking him with their tongues. Krishna transformed into the black kajal around their eyes, the blue lotuses over their ears, and the sapphire necklaces on their chest, and the musk ointment smeared on their body. And stunned in love, the gopis stood motionless like figures drawn in a painting. With great anticipation, the Brijbasis awaited the return of Krishna and the cows. First they saw the dust clouds in the distance created by the hooves of the cows cutting the earth. Then they heard the bellowing of the cows and saw the gopis coming close behind. And finally they beheld the bright blue effulgence proceeding, jeweled-like prince of Braja. Overwhelmed with the desires to lick the cows tried to run, but the heavy weight of their full milk bags checked their forward movement. Becoming jubilant upon hearing Krishna's flute, their eyes rolled in ecstasy. Though their voices faltered when they moved, they produced a pleasing sound as they entered Vrindavan. The touch of Vanamali's cows purified the earth. The rays of the sun shined in the houses of Nanda and Yasoda as they welcomed their beloved son. And moved by limitless joy, Yasoda rushed to embrace Nandanandana. Finally, seeing him after the long day of his playing in the forest overwhelmed Yasoda with happiness and removed the pangs of separation. Rejecting all rules of formality, she took Krishna through the lion gate and directly into the palace courtyard. Krishna's lips bathed in the beautiful light of his radiant teeth. The cowherd boys accompanying Krishna felt happy and pleased in heart. And with great animation, they spoke excitedly to Yasoda. "Oh, mother, today a demon disguised himself as one of us and tried to kidnap Haladar, Palambasura. But your son Balaram easily killed this malicious character. Then a terrible forest fire threatened to devour the cows, the very source of our wealth. But Krishna promised to save them, and he did this by performing the impossible task of destroying that fire." After reporting this, the boys returned to their homes. There's one other part. Then they bathed Krishna, and he took rest for a very short time. Then he immediately got up, and it was time for him to milk the cows. The white hue color of the pure-minded cows sitting along the road, which looked as white as powdered camphor, easily surpassed the glow of the full moon to create a satisfying sight for all. The beautiful white bodies of the cows could only be distinguished from the lustrous setting by their thick horns and appeared blacker than a swarm of bees. Sitting there peacefully, the cows felt boundless joy. And then Krishna, desiring to milk the cows, Krishna, who performs artistic feats and derives pleasure from everything he does, he milked the cows with great fun and affection. The news that Krishna was milking the cows entered the ears of the gopis. Their minds were captivated by Madan Mohan, and the gopis ignored their relatives and courageously climbed the watchtowers to see their beloved. One gopi enthusiastically clutched another's hand and pulled her up the stairs. As the doe-eyed gopis gazed in the direction of Krishna and the cows, the sky filled with the blue lotus flowers of their ardent, loving glances. They bathed their minds in the river of nectar flowing from the moon-like face of Krishna. Like independent yoginis, the curious eyes of the gopis blissfully roamed in all directions as they stood on the rooftops watching Krishna milk the cows. Nothing could prevent their eyes from staring at Krishna. Though Brahma himself cannot describe this pastime of Krishna's milking the cows, and a sparrow can never reach the stars, still this insignificant poet cannot resist the temptation to delight in the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. So maybe another time I will finish. The description of Krishna's milking the cows is wonderful.
How he puts the milk bucket between his knees,
yeah,
in the turban, touches the belly of the cow, and
yeah, and with just a little effort, so much milk comes out.
And then it sounds runo runo, sham sham. As it goes in, and it sprinkles Krishna's face also. Very nice. You have a very, I'm sorry to say, but it's very nice out of it. You learned this, or you have just, by your own training, you have developed this? Krishna's mercy.
I've been doing it, reading. For so many years, to the children, to this, to that.
Very easy to follow.
Thank you. So this is auspicious day.
Very auspicious.
And tomorrow's another auspicious day.
For what? For
we'll see the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani.
Oh yeah.
The Nomi.
And Saksha Gopal Balaram said, this is a day where thousands and thousands of people go to see Saksha Gopal. And they see, and they especially see Radharani's lotus feet there.
Good night. I'm sorry, but I listened to every sentence. I was,
because you already know every sentence. Very good.
But it's the fact when you have read a text, I think one has to work at every text. When one has read it once, it's easier to read it the second time. Good night.